Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
How's your day today, buddy?
It's going great.
It's going great?
It's going great.
You got up. You woke up, you're alive.
Slept with the windows open, attic fan on, nature squeaking and chirping out there all night long is awesome.
So last week, I came over here, and your windows were open, and I was like, oh man, that's a good idea. I went home, opened all mine up, I was like, yeah.
Then it got hot. It
got hot for 2 days,
yeah.
And then in the middle of the night, dude, coyotes by my house are going crazy. I was up half the night, I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Windows shut. Like, yeah. I gotta wait for it to get cold. Colder, so they maybe move out a little ways.
Yeah,
you know, they're busy right now, so
we
drives me insane.
We usually end up closing the windows in the mornings because all the birds wake up and it's like, good God,
like, yeah,
like I'm trying to sleep.
Hey, you know what, let's put out some bird feeders. Oh, there's shit all over my car and I can't sleep, and it's like, fuck these birds.
Yeah. We don't feed them.
But you live in a subdivision, I'm sure there's a lot of people.
Oh, I'm sure there's, yeah.
They're everywhere.
I'm sure we got a lot of nerds here that's like, oh, that's a Western Gorbler. You know? Oh, that's a ring-nosed hogneck finch. Babe, get my binoculars. Grab the book. I've got one out here. I don't know.
Dude, I don't know if my dad listens to this podcast, but when we were kids, he had a bird book.
Oh, yeah.
And a set of binoculars, like, on the window.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always think, like, when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, he was just old and stuff, and now I'm like...
He was younger, your age.
No, he was younger than I am now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was he a nerd?
Yeah.
Was he just into the outdoors? Like,
yep.
I don't know.
It's just old.
I got a pair of binoculars.
Welcome
but it's
to
like,
the old.
Like, it's for seeing what the hell's going on. Is that a coyote? Is that a deer? Is that someone trying to rob me in the middle of the night? Like,
right.
That's all I got them for.
No, it's just your wife taking out the trash because you forgot to.
That's not my job at my house. It's Layla's job now.
Layla's job.
She's 12, so yeah. Get your ass. She's like, I don't want to. I'm like, okay, so are we, am I not buying you Culver's next after practice? Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to.
Okay. Fine, I'll do it. You're so mean, Dad.
Dad.
God.
I had to walk uphill to school both ways when I was your age.
God,
brought you into this world to take you out.
She got on the bus today, and I walked back inside, and she... Like, she didn't have a bad attitude, but it was just, and Janine was getting ready to go to bed. She got home from work, and I looked at Janine. I was like, oh, I can't believe I got to go down to work. Oh, I can't believe she just started laughing. I was like, yeah, I don't know what her deal is lately, but man.
She's called like, puberty.
Yeah, she's like, it's going to get worse. I'm like, what do you mean it's going to get worse? It's going to get worse for like 3 years, and then it'll start getting better.
Yeah.
I was like, then she'll be driving. I'll be a nervous wreck all the time. You wonder why people are on so many medications.
Prozac.
Just like
all of it.
It's too much, man. Like, we got to get back to...
I watched a video of this, like, I don't want to stereotype, but a liberal, an extreme liberal getting pulled over by a cop. And this girl is trying to use all of her self-diagnosed ailments as an excuse to get out of her speeding.
She
was speeding on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, shit, bitch.
And the cop's like, have you had anything to drink tonight? And she goes, no. And the cop's like, well, do you have any disorders or impairments that I should be aware of? And
I
she goes,
left.
just extreme anxiety and a little bit of depression and some situational anxiety. And it's just a lot of anxiety. And
so the rest of us got it.
Yeah. And then so the cop like gets her out to do a sobriety test, and he's like, I need you to walk heel toe, starting with your left foot forward. And she was like, sorry, I'm just super anxious. You know, my anxiety, I may not be able to do this with my anxiety. Like, she was just trying to say
anything.
Like trying to use anxiety as a reason to do or not do whatever she wants to do. And it's like, no. Like, fuck the excuses.
Yeah.
Like, we still got, you still got to, like, get up and go to work. You still got to eat. You still got to drive on the right side of the road and be safe.
Yeah.
Like,
I love the one that's, she's a little bit more of a heavy set gal. Not, I mean, she's not fat or anything, but she's, like, hammered drunk.
Yeah.
And he gets her out, you know, and she's like, I'm an indigenous person and you're making me really uncomfortable right now. And she's so drunk. Like, you could tell she's drunk just watching the video.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to get to her. Look, none of that matters.
Yeah.
If you're over the legal limit. Like, he's just trying to get her to do the same thing. Like, take five steps.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, fine. You know what? We're just going to do the breathalyzer. It's easier. You don't have to. There's no anxiety. There's no stress. All you have to do is lean against the car. I'll go get the thing. Comes back, and it's like 0.18. I mean, like, she's hammered drunk.
Way over.
And she's yelling, but I'm an indigenous person. Like, she's a white girl.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell she's just a regular white girl. I'm an indigenous person, and she's carrying on. I'm like, dude.
And like, this is the you're a jailed indigenous person.
The most, like, woke white liberal crap I've seen in in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, why are you pretending to be someone else to, I don't know what the thought process is, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, usually I watch those videos and I'm more confused afterwards than I was before I even started watching. It's like, what are you?
Well, if you've made it a habit out of excusing all your own poor behaviors and finding a reason why you're allowed to have those behaviors.
Yeah.
Eventually, those behaviors break your friend circle and they actually start breaking laws. And then you realize real quickly how those excuses don't mean shit when you're having a cop stare down at you. And
I love the one that's, it's almost kind of the same as what I was just describing, but then the mom is in a small video and she's like commenting on the video.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't raise her this way. Yeah. And then by the end, like, she says that, but then by the end, she's like, I guess I should have beat her more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she needed a little more discipline at home. Like, just
try.
You can't just run amok.
Give violence a chance.
That's my greatest fear is that, I shouldn't say greatest fear. One of the things that I worry about constantly is, like, I tell Layla all the time, don't start anything. But if something happens, you have to defend yourself.
Yep.
And I'm just so worried that one day I'm going to get a call and I'm going to go to the school and it's going to be like, well, she beat the shit out of this girl. And I'll be like, who started the fight? And they're going to be like, well, this other girl and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that she can't defend herself? Because I know they're going to be like, well, she can't be acting like that.
Yeah.
Like, so at what point do you just enable every bully, but then have an anti-bullying campaign at school?
Right.
Like, that's one of my biggest things, because I tell her all the time. I put heavy bags in the basement.
You know what shuts a bully up? It's not awareness.
Yeah, it's not awareness.
It's not having an assembly in the multipurpose room to talk about bullying. What shuts a bully up is a bully get punched in the mouth.
Yeah. Layla, it was May. She was being bullied at school because she was sticking up for a bunch of kids that, like, we're being bullied bad, you know? And, like, so she was all upset about it and everything. And I'm like, are you telling the teachers when you see this stuff? She's like, yeah, they don't do anything. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's why this is happening. Like, how can you have bully awareness? Those kids recognize what's happening, do what they're supposed to do, go tell a teacher or someone they trust, but then nothing happens and it just continues.
Yeah.
And that's when she got the heavy bag.
Yeah.
I got her the little gloves. I'm like, hey. If someone touches you just barely and they've been bullying you, knock their fucking ass out.
Dude, I got to...
I'll get in trouble. I said, you won't be in trouble at home. I said, I'll put your ass in private school if I have to. I don't care.
I've got a...
Sounds such like a dick
a
move.
A nephew but... that's in sixth grade in the Columbia School District. Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, okay. I was like, Columbia School District? What the fuck is that?
They're going through a battle right now because the school decided to play a video for the sixth graders. And the video showed...
God, it's not trans bullshit, is it?
Two boys falling in love with each other. It's a cartoon video.
Oh, my God. That's what they're up in arms about in Columbia. Okay. I didn't realize what the video was, but I've seen a lot of the reaction videos.
Well, so my nephew, big into church. Their whole family's big into church and all this
stuff. You tell them they're all going to hell?
He says, I don't like this. This is making me feel uncomfortable. Can I go to the bathroom? So he leaves, and as he leaves, the teacher makes some remark about how much of a homophobe he's being after he walks out of the room.
I'd own that fucking school.
And yeah.
I would fucking own it.
And so, you know, they're mad that the kid couldn't excuse himself from a situation that made him feel uncomfortable. They're mad that you're putting sexuality and things like that into the boys' heads and girls'
Dude,
heads.
How fucking stupid.
And then they're also mad that the teacher so far has had, like, they're still teaching and they've had zero repercussions with calling a student a homophobe because they didn't want to watch a cartoon of two boys falling in love with each other.
Dude, do you remember when people were pulling their kids out in the hallway because they didn't want them to be there for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
And now you're letting two fucking fag kids make out? Like, what are...
Yeah. It's kind of wild.
So. Every day, I get a little closer to putting Layla in private school.
Yeah.
Like, every fucking day. And it's because of stupid-ass shit like this.
I mean, it came over the airways here in the KC area that the Olathe School District made a rule forbidding teachers from wearing the Charlie Kirk Freedom shirt.
That's... I don't understand what they're doing. Do you realize that that's going to go to the Missouri Supreme Court, and they're going to be like, "You, that is against First Amendment rights."
Right.
Like...
Well, and I mean, it may be part of some dress code, and maybe the school has a thing of like no political agendas or anything like that. But I guarantee you, the school is allowing like rainbow stickers on the classrooms and saying this is a safe space if you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, you know, comfort goes both ways.
And literally, the lady who put out the memo about the like here, let me show you a picture of the lady that put out the memo about the school, and you'll learn right
so
away.
So I saw. This is probably people listening are like, are these guys going to fucking move on or not? But I saw a lady that was, so they were doing like a protest outside of a school in Columbia and they were calling this lady out. I'm assuming this is who you're going to show me. But now, like they
this
wouldn't
is
even
Olathe
respond.
Schools.
Oh, okay. But the one in Columbia, like they wouldn't even respond or that actually makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big old fat waste of space.
Overweight.
White bitch.
Blue hair.
With blue
Karen
hair.
Haircut. Brown, or black round rim glasses.
I just,
yeah.
I just don't understand it, dude.
Yeah.
You're a homophobe.
What's funny is she's got purple hair, but she's making dress code decisions. That's a distraction in class. Oh, yeah, and your purple hair's not?
Well, that's my, I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but I mean, at what point do we just move out of the city?
Yeah.
I think about it all
the time.
I mean,
they're
the time,
in
Columbia, dude.
But... They're in a smaller city than we are.
Yeah, but it's...
It's different.
It's different in Columbia.
All right, before we're going to get into what we're talking about, I got to brag on my kid for a second.
Which one? Didn't you just brag on one of these dummies?
I bragged on one of them last week. Now I got to brag on the other one this week.
Okay, continue.
So Grant has found that he is rather skilled in the percussion department.
Yes.
And so he was one of two middle schoolers that got invited to play with the high school band at the Friday Night Football game last week.
Did he play the quads?
Played the quads.
Oh, man.
And it
Did
was
Did you get
like,
a boner?
Yeah.
Yes!
So we moved into this house. We moved into this house 14 years ago. Grant was 1 month old.
Dude, was it... Have you been here that long?
Yeah.
God.
And
you're fucking old.
I know. And the first Friday night that we slept with the windows open, because we moved in like in October. So we would have been sleeping with the windows open, like right out of the gate.
Yeah, it was fall. I remember that.
And so the first Friday night, we slept with the windows open. We're going to bed early on a Friday night, and we hear the band.
Yeah.
Through the windows, and it's like, oh, one day. Like, that's the band that my kids are going to go to that school and everything else. And I'm like, one day. One day, I hope that noise, if my kid is making that noise.
Yeah.
Playing the quads. And Mason never really did much in the music side of things, and Grant,
yeah,
Grant's taken a hold of it. So, yeah. And he did awesome.
Yeah.
Like that song's not easy. They did really cool.
That's fantastic.
So,
I don't know if I've told you, I can actually hear the band from our house.
Yeah,
if it's no wind,
no
or
wind
just
or
a little
north
out
wind.
Of the north, I can we, and it's not like it's I can barely hear it. Like I can sit out front and listen.
Yeah.
Like, it's loud as shit.
Yeah, it's kind of funny what you can and can't hear. Like, you can hear the announcer, but you can't hear what he's saying. You can hear the band playing as day. You can hear the quads playing as day.
Oh, yeah, you can hear the band.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear the garbled, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, the band, you can hear. Like, I could sit out there and listen to it at halftime.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then...
Should have invited me.
Out of the blue, he says, Dad, I want to buy some window washing equipment and go clean windows in the neighborhood. And I'm like, cool.
No.
And so he...
Dude, you can't have a 14-year-old kid on a fucking extension ladder washing windows.
No, it's inside.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
You can't have a kid on a 12-foot stepladder washing windows.
He's got a long pole.
He does?
So he went and bought all this stuff to go clean windows. He's been watching TikToks and everything else, and he's got okay. Like a whole setup. And so he recently got a scooter. And so he's getting
I saw him on Saturday.
He's getting everything all set up for
how's he?
So he's gonna ride a scooter to jobs.
Oh shit.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I'll give him credit for the effort.
You know 19th Street in Blue Springs?
Yeah.
Where all the mansions are?
Yeah, yeah.
This dude yesterday gets on a scooter and starts going door to door on 19th Street.
He is shameless.
Those are 5-acre lots, right?
So yeah.
It's not like you're walking, and they're all gated. You're not walking door to door.
So he's
having
to buzzer him up?
Yeah.
I love it.
He got 2 window cleaning gigs on 19th Street.
Okay.
One of them's $100.
It's only $100?
Yeah. So his deal is like 7 windows for $25.
Dude, send that little motherfucker over to my house. I'll pay his ass.
So he's...
Does he know how to pull screens to wash windows if he needs to?
Yeah, he's got it all set up.
So, but we're not letting him do outside stuff?
Outside on main level.
Okay.
But not...
No extension ladder stuff.
So, unless they're like... What do you call those? Like
if it's
a double hung
house,
window where you can...
Oh,
where you
can
clean the outside from the inside? Yeah.
Dude, I'm serious. Send that little motherfucker over to my house.
Dude, he's all about it. And then... And then, so he buys all these supplies, and then he goes and sells this job yesterday that he's going to go do today when he comes home from school. And he hits me up, and he's like, hey, I already know I bought all the supplies, and I kind of depleted all my cash to buy everything, but this guy's got some really tall windows, so I'm going to need like an extension pole for my little washer, and I'm kind of out of money. So can I borrow some money, and we go to Home Depot and get an extension pole, and then I'll pay you back tonight.
Yeah.
Like after the guy pays me. And I'm like, I got you, dude.
That's fantastic.
And so, yeah. Yeah, he was like looking at how much money's in his account. And I'm like, well, there'll be $100 more in there by tomorrow. And he's like, sweet.
I don't know if I'm doing the right thing with Layla. So, like, we will let her spend her own money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and buy stuff. But when she wants something and she's either forgot her money or whatever, just kind of like what you're talking about, like, I'll buy it and then she'll pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just put that money back in there.
Yeah.
Like, she's keeping track of it, but then I keep it in another envelope downstairs. And then someday, like, if she opens an account or whatever, I'll just put it in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best way to do it or not.
Well, I've kind of decided, like we're not going to be the parents that quickly punt our kids out onto the streets at 18.
Oh, I am.
Now,
that's why I'm setting that money aside.
Well, now, so they have to have, like, they're not going to just be able to, like, suckle at the money teat of mom and dad after 18. But... Like, if you come to me and
food
you say...
Food and housing, yeah.
Well, if you come to me and you say, like, hey, I don't want to move out. I'd rather just pay you guys rent and save my money and just buy a house. Okay, cool. And so, at that point, like, they're still going to have to pay rent either to me or somebody else. But if they pay it to me, I'm just going to save it and turn it around and...
Yeah. Wait.
So.
I know we're not going to get into a whole thing, but I think people... like to have these type of conversations or hear about them. Mason's 16.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be junior next year?
He's a junior this year. He'll be a senior next year.
Is he going to go to college?
No.
What's he going
to
do?
I don't know. He wanted to work for the plumbing company.
He could still do that.
And then dad sold it.
He could still do that.
Yeah, but he's starting to realize how much money he can make in the mowing thing.
Well, that's where I'm going with this question. Like, so he doesn't want to go to college.
Mm-mm.
Is he going to just start full-time mowing?
He might.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you sat down and had been like, okay, look, dude, we've got to get a plan together. You got a year and a half, buddy.
Yeah.
And then you are expected to either work for a living or go to school.
Yep.
So what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we've loosely been having those talks, so.
It's only a matter of time.
It is.
You gonna buy him a big truck and trailer? Part of owning? Okay, good. I'll do it.
That's all him.
No, I'm gonna fucking own part of that company with him.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. If he wants to invest into a mowing company together, then yeah, I'll help him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll buy that little motherfucker 8 mowers and a truck. Be like, let's go, dog.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
I just Layla, she's too young for that stuff, but she keeps telling me she wants to be a veterinarian, and I'm like, you know, you might have to put a dog down, right? She's like, yeah, but not that many, and I'll have staff for that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you realize you got to go to school for like 6 more years after high school, right? She's like, what else am I going to do? Okay. Like, apparently, maybe we are onto this, and, but she's 12. It's like, eh, there's no way.
And keep playing soccer so you don't have to pay for that school.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I doubt she's going to get the best veterinary school in our area is Mizzou.
Yep.
She's not going to be able to play for it. Well, I don't know. Maybe she could.
Yeah, she could.
I don't know. I don't know if she's that good. I don't know if she's that good an athlete.
Yeah, who knows?
I guess she could take a bunch of undergrad stuff at UMKC or something.
Yeah.
Hell, she could probably play soccer there now. Those girls are, we went to a game.
Just skip, like, eh. Just skip college, and she can just go straight into the women's professional soccer arena.
Her and I talked about that. Do you know what the national average for a women's soccer player is in salary? $36,000.
Yeah, but the endorsements are probably the only ones tenfold that, that.
Endorsements are the top 3 players on each team.
Yeah. Better aim high.
Dude, I made more than those girls at 25. Did you hear what I mean? Like, it's just not a lot of money.
They're opening a bar in KC that's only going to play women's sports.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm like, cool, an entire bar of people making more money than the people on TV.
Oh, that's
including the bartender.
Unfortunately, it's sad. I will say this for those that actually like soccer. Women's professional soccer is more entertaining than men's professional soccer. So
I bet the women are a little bit more chippy.
They're a little more chippy. They are a little more sloppy with the ball and footwork and not being able to get to balls because they're just naturally not as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual product, as far as entertainment value goes, is way more fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
The men's, it's like, oh, we're all organized and we're moving down the field together. Oh, we lost the ball. We're all organizing down the field the other way. It's just like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh. It's kind of boring. Women's?
Dude.
Shoving people down. Bitch takes an elbow to the face. It's very entertaining.
I've said it week after week this year with the Chiefs.
And it's on Amazon Prime a lot.
I enjoy watching the Chiefs more this year than any of the previous years.
Because they're not good?
Right. Well, the previous years, you were watching under the assumption they were going to win. And this year, I mean, they're 3-3.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know if they're going to win. So it actually makes it a lot more fun to watch the games.
Dude, we have a member in Trade Winds who's right outside of Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their fucking asses whipped last night.
Yeah, they did.
And like, I don't remember what his
killed
comment
my fantasy.
Was, but I was, killed mine too. But I was thinking, man, how could they, Atlanta got shut out by Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ass stomped Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, no one can figure them out.
Yeah.
And now Buffalo's lost 2 in a row. And they're like, no one can figure out Buffalo. Yeah. So it's
Eagles
like,
have lost 2 in a row.
Oh, maybe that's what I meant. And then Buffalo's lost.
Yeah,
they've lost 2 now. It's like, does anyone have a good grasp on the NFL this year?
Yeah.
Dude, the NFC is...
They're stacking up.
Twice as good as the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Like, they are kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
There's probably 5 teams in the NFC that could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The AFC doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Nope. Nope.
It'll be an entertaining game last night.
It'll be an entertaining thing for sure.
Oh, man, we're 23 minutes in. You want to talk about
Yeah, we should
else?
Actually talk about work stuff, right?
You want to talk about work stuff? Or
yeah,
you want
let's
talk
do
about
that.
Field polls?
Oh, we could talk about field pulse too. Actually, I'm going to hold off on talking about field pulse until we get into this talk here. So,
okay, what do you want to talk about?
We are going to talk about the idea. Here we're at the beginning of Q4 2025. A lot of people, when they're starting a business, they think they need more leads. And you probably do, but you're probably not doing as much with the leads that you have as you should be. And so, we're going to talk about the 5 things that you need to be doing in Q4, and you need to make these a habit in Q4. And so that way, in all of next year, this is just how you do business. So those 5 things, we're going to deep dive into them all. But Those five things are reactivating your past customers, prior customers, training your team and yourself to increase your average ticket. Number three is strengthen your review and referral process. Number four is plan and price for profit. In other words, we do all this stuff, we don't make any money. What's the point? And then number five is learning how to build momentum before the slow season so that momentum can carry you through the slow season. So, number one, reactivating your past customers. So, if you have a CRM of any kind, Field Pulse is a pretty good one. You put a list, you go pull a report in your CRM of every customer you've served over the last like 18 to 24 months. And then sometimes your CRM will do this. Sometimes you got to export it to a constant contact kind of place, or I use MailChimp for us. But you're going to take the names, addresses, and phone numbers, and you're going to import that list that you pulled. You're going to import that into like MailChimp. That's what we do. And then we text all of those people. So these are people that have used our company in the past, and we're going to text them an exclusive offer.
Yeah.
And to be able to text, there is some FCC clearance stuff. MailChimp, if you like, I like MailChimp for this, but they will require that you have all the FCC clearance handled.
And in place before they'll allow you to use their service.
Yeah. And basically what it takes to be able to text customers is there is a certain statement that you have to have on your website, anywhere where somebody may text you on your website. There's a statement that you would have on there that talks about like permission to follow up with them. I'm going to go look at our website. I'm actually going to read the statement.
You know what I was thinking just real quick? Send me that statement. I'll put it on our website. Maybe I'll put it in the description of the show for people that need it.
Yeah. So ours says, by providing a telephone number and submitting the form, you are consenting to being contacted by SMS text message. Our message frequency may vary. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out of further messaging. Reply help for more information. See our privacy policy. And then, no mobile information will be shared with third-party affiliates for marketing or promotional purposes. All of the above categories exclude text messaging. Originator opt-in data and consent. This information will not be shared by any third parties. So, let me...
Does the end of that mean that you will not sell their data?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you sell their data anyway?
No.
Okay. Good for you. Damn it. I thought I was going to get one.
Now, we do partner with people, and we don't sell the data, but one thing that we're going to do fairly soon... I'm emailing this to you right now, by the
Perfect.
Way.
Perfect. I'll put it in the description of the show if anybody wants to just copy and paste it, and I'll put it on the TradeWinds website up front somewhere.
Yeah.
Free download.
You will have this on your... this will be on anything... any contact form on your website is going to be there for
so
this.
They have to be able to access and read that before they fill out any information that allows you to contact them, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so... And so we text all of our customers, and sometimes it's a text offer of like $50 off your next service.
Waived service charge.
Yeah.
For this month.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like the next 20 people that reply to this text will waive the service charge.
We have a bunch of these on our private Facebook group, but like I know you guys do one that's 10% off a new garbage disposal.
Yeah.
You know, you try to. Isn't that around Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Or do you just do the holidays in general?
Yeah, we just try to time it and make it like you're not going to do a sump pump one during the dry...
Middle of summer. Yeah.
But yeah, like during the springtime, we'll have some sump pump ones out there. During the holidays, we'll have some garbage disposal stuff out there. It just kind of depends. Like for back to school time, that's always a hard time in a home service business because everyone's schedules are getting rocked.
Yeah, everyone's busy.
And so, like, we did a $50 Amazon e-gift card if you schedule a service call by replying to this text.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, let us ease the burden for back-to-school time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
HVAC is the easy one, right? They have two built in every year. Hey, yeah. Summer's coming.
Yeah.
You know,
tune up.
Your spring tune-up is, $25 off this month or this week or this day, if you book today,
yep.
same in the fall, check that gas furnace before it gets cold out.
Yep.
$50 off your full or full service this week only. But like, but they people, I will say this for the HVAC ones, people forget
mm-hmm.
until that thing comes on.
Yep.
Like that's almost, I don't want to say free money, but it's free service calls.
Yeah.
You know, coming in that you're not having to pay leads on.
Yeah.
Every year. So if you're not taking advantage of that, that's
yeah.
bad.
Well, and then if you have any other things that they can buy digitally, you can also pitch those in there. So for instance, like if you sell a maintenance plan, like a monthly membership.
Yeah.
You can pitch that in there.
Like your Smedley
yeah,
family
like
plan.
Yeah, like Smedley family plan.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things you can do there. But MailChimp cost me $100 a month for the service and then $70 a month for the text messaging credits. So $170 a month. And usually we get anywhere from 5 to 10 service calls from MailChimp whenever we send out a text campaign.
Do you do 2 a month?
One.
You still just doing one?
Try to just do one. Now, different strokes for different folks. I have found that our effectiveness doesn't increase with doing 2.
Okay.
So,
because people, do you think it's because people are like, oh, I've already seen this? And so they just are disengaged when they see it
well,
repeatedly?
Here's,
or?
Here's the challenge. If you do it too often and there's a financial incentive every time you do it, $50 off, $50 off, $50 credit, waive trip charge, anything like that, you're actually culturing your customers to not call you until they get a text. And saying like, well, they text me all the time, and so why would I call now? I'll just wait for a text and get in on the discount, you know?
Have you ever done it where you split your call list in half and do half at the beginning and
yeah.
half at the end?
So
that
yeah,
you get 2 bumps in revenue, but you're only like stressing your client base once.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, you can split it up and do it that way. You can also do it city by city. So we have all ours categorized by city.
Like Lee Summit, Blue Springs, Green Valley.
Yeah, and so the reason we do that is because if, like during inclement weather, if one city has had a big water main break or something like that, well, now we're able to text just that city and be like, hey, if you've, you know, been affected by the water main break and you're worried about your water after they get water service restored,
water softeners,
give us a call.
20% off.
We'll come out for free and bleed the air out of your system or something like that, right? There's a lot of ways that you could split it up by location. You could also split it up by prior service, right? And so, in other words, you would not, like, if you're going to throw out a promo for a discount on water heaters, you don't want that going to people that just bought a water heater from you last week. And so you would carve out
yeah.
certain amounts of people
yeah.
for that.
And that's why, you know, we talk about tracking in a bunch of different areas, but tracking what you've done and when
mm-hmm.
as part of that is just as important.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you know, people a lot of times bitch and moan about, oh, I spent all this marketing money and I didn't, you know, get any results. Well, are you sending it to people that you shouldn't even be sending marketing to because you can't sell to them?
Right.
Because you already did?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I think a lot of times people feel like they're throwing away money and it's 100% on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They blame the marketing business. They blame the customers. They blame their guys for not being able to sell to the calls that they do get them to. And it's like, you shouldn't even be marketing to those people.
Yeah.
And it's your fault for not tracking what you're supposed to be tracking.
Yeah. The saying is true that 50% of all marketing dollars are wasted. Most people just don't know which 50%. And that's very true. Half of your marketing dollars are wasted or non-trackable. I'm not going to say they're wasted, but they don't convert to a lead that you can attribute to the dollar.
Yeah, like if you're running a lot of branding ads on Facebook,
right.
it's hard to, you know if that money spent actually,
right.
or money made actually came from those branding ads.
Yeah, but the one thing is it's absolutely wasted if you're not tracking anything.
Yeah. Say you're missing 20% because you can't track that 20%. Like, if 50% of that you could track, your marketing waste went from 50 to 60%, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I guess what I'm getting at is like...
Math didn't math, but...
People will throw $1,000 at a youth sports team and be like, well, they're going to put our name and number on the back of the t-shirts and we're going to put a banner in the outfield. Cool. Nobody's going to recognize... Like when that person calls in and says, and you say, how did you hear about us? They're not going to recognize that. So if you can find some kind of call to action thing that requires the person to use that to call in. So in other words, the banner on the outfield, you put a QR code that goes to a certain spot on your website.
That you can then track.
That you can track how effective is the QR code.
This email came from this QR code.
Yeah, or let's say the baseball team that you sponsored is called like the T-Bones, okay? So then you T-bone. Would say, call, you know, when you call in, use coupon code T-Bone for $50 off your service call.
Yeah.
And so now you're able to actually track how effective was that banner out in the field. Because if you just put your name and phone number out on a banner out in the field, you don't know if that was helping or hurting or anything.
Yeah.
So finding ways to be consistent with that.
Yeah. Got a little off track there. That's my bad.
No, that's all right. That's all part of tracking your marketing and reactivating old customers.
Yeah,
so
I think people, they really underestimate the power of their current clientele.
Yes.
And their client list.
Yeah.
They don't even, like you were saying at the beginning, I need more leads, more leads, more leads, more leads, more leads. You know, you've got 150 leads from the last 2 months of service calls you already ran.
Right.
Now, if you would have been, you know, remarketing or retargeting the clients you had from 8 months ago, that entire time, that just creates a cycle where you can then, you know, generate leads off of people that you already have.
Right.
We're both reading notes too much today.
No, well, I'm trying to do a math problem here.
Well, give it to me. I'm good at math. 27, 33 divided by 4.
That ain't right. There we go. Okay. So, we have about 4,000 customers in our database, and I'll get about 10 replies every time we send out a MailChimp text campaign.
Okay.
That's 2.5%. That's actually 0.25%. Okay?
Okay.
So, 4,000 customers, 0.25% convert to a call. That's 10 calls out of 4,000 customers. But we do this every month.
What if you had 8,000?
Well, then it'd be 20 calls.
I know, that's my point. What if it's 16,000?
Right.
My point was before that I didn't do a very good job of articulating was you need to be retargeting your client list from the beginning because your client list is only going to grow.
Always growing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like the when's the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago? When's the second best time right now?
Right.
If you want shade, you know, like.
Yeah.
If you don't start doing it immediately or now, today, whatever,
yep.
Like you're just putting off the ability to get quote unquote free calls. I know MailChimp costs a little bit of money, but compared to Google LSA or acquiring new customers through other marketing means, it's super cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cheap.
And they already know you, they already like you, and they already trust you.
Yep.
They know who you are.
Yep.
They're comfortable calling you.
Yeah. And they're more likely to spend money on your second visit than your first. Because they know you, like you, and trust you.
Yeah.
So how this would work is you would go to your CRM like FieldPulse, and you would put in what they call call sources or lead sources. So, and you get to customize these, and you're going to say like Google or Facebook or word of mouth or the T-Bones baseball team or the, you know, Blue Springs Chamber of Commerce or like any, you're going to put in all these different lead sources. If you're in a B&I group, I would definitely put B&I as a lead source. So you can track how effective the B&I group is. Most of these people without good tracking data, they're operating off of emotions, and emotions can play some mean tricks on you. In other words, there's a lot of people that say like, oh, I think my B&I group's super really effective. And then you actually put the pen to paper and you realize how much time you spend in B&I and how much money you spend in B&I and how much work you get from B&I. And only then do you know how effective it is or not.
Yeah. I spent 8 hours and I got 2 calls.
Right.
Okay. What were the 2 calls? An aerator and...
Yeah, a low money call.
Flapper. Okay. So what did you actually make? Like if you got 2 calls and they were both water heaters, okay.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Right. Right.
You know, but how do you know if you're not writing it down?
Yeah, you gotta track those lead sources for everything. So, and then you can actually pull reports by lead source, and you can say, okay, our word of mouth customers spend this much money. And so like we're getting ready to train in Tradewinds. I have a marketing return on investment calculator that I've built that I use in our company. And we're going to share all that with Tradewinds members next week. If you want in on that calculator, join Tradewinds and we'll get you the calculator because everyone in Tradewinds is going to get it next week. But basically how this calculator works is once you plug in the info, you pull a couple simple reports from your CRM and from QuickBooks. And once you plug in all the info into this calculator, it'll tell you like Google was 30% of your customers, but 40% of your revenue, which means those are better jobs.
Yeah.
Or it'll tell you like Facebook marketing was half of your ad spend and no return on investment. And so now you use that information to make a decision on do I keep going with Facebook marketing or whatever the case may be. And so it's imperative that all of your lead sources match on your marketing returns analysis as they do on your CRM. And so in other words, we've got a list of like I think we've got 10 marketing lead sources. And so because we have 10, whenever we categorize all of our marketing spend, we categorize it to match those 10. So if I had to spend money to become accredited by the Better Business Bureau, then I put that in there as a marketing spend. And the memo is Better Business Bureau. If I have to spend money to buy zip codes on Nextdoor, then I put that in there and charge, you know, the Nextdoor bucket. And so that way you're able to, all the way through the whole system, you're able to say, okay, Nextdoor got us 15 leads. We spent $140 on Nextdoor. And so that's about 10 bucks a lead. That's pretty awesome, yeah. Right? And so it just kind of depends on how all that works. Every company is going to be different, but you just plug in the numbers and it'll tell you everything you need to know. So again, if you want access to that, join Tradewinds and we're training that like next Tuesday morning. So speaking of CRMs, Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company that's ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Field Pulse is an advanced system to operate as your CRM. It'll handle your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and your dispatching. It'll provide good, better, best proposals. It'll let you do maintenance plans, and it'll even operate the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the softwares you're currently using, like your email, QuickBooks, desktop, and everything else. So you can hit the ground running without changing much of how you do the day-to-day operations. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse will save you time, it keeps your team organized, and it gives you the tools you need to increase profitability and productivity. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8-star rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com. So, but if you have Field Pulse or any other CRM, it's as quick as just pulling reports in your customers to see who buys what and how to market back to them. So I would totally, totally do that. Next topic is training your team to increase average tickets. The easiest way to increase average tickets without feeling like you're a sleazeball salesperson is literally just start offering three options.
Yeah.
You offer them an option that's a bare minimum of what it's going to take to fix that today. You offer them an option that's a more inclusive fix the option today. In other words, if they have a component that's broke, your bare minimum repair is replacing the one component. But all the components of that item are all the same age.
Yeah.
And so a more inclusive repair would be replacing all the components in there, not just the one that broke, because maybe they're going to break soon, right? And then the top option would be like a complete replacement of the item that's broken.
Yeah.
Or the item that has a broken component. So, you know, we have the plumbing company, so I'll do this in like plumbing terms. Plumbing terms would be like we have a toilet that needs a new fill valve and a new flapper. Cool. So our bare minimum repair is a minor rebuild of the toilet, new fill valve and flapper. But the flush valve's the same age, the supply stop's the same age, supply tube's the same age, tank to bowl kits all the same age. So like you never really know how long that stuff's going to last. And ultimately, it's not your job to be concerned about it. It's your job to tell your customer, like, here's the options, right? And so you would do like a complete rebuild option for the toilet. So you got a minor rebuild and you got a complete rebuild. A complete rebuild is like, yeah, we're going to handle the fill valve and flapper, but we're also going to replace the flush valve and the tank to bowl gaskets and the tank to bowl bolts and the supply stop and supply line and all of that stuff. And then we always round it out with a replacement option, which is new toilet.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to sell them a new toilet. We're simply letting them know, hey, here's what it would cost to buy a new toilet.
You're allowing them a space to shop.
Yeah. And also, you're providing value with the other two. Whenever you go three options, the third option provides value to the other two. And so what we mean by that is, like, you would be really mad if you went into a car dealership and they told you, like, it's going to be $5,000 to replace the transmission. And they didn't tell you that your car is only worth $4,000, even with a brand new transmission.
Yeah.
You'd be really mad, right? Because at that point, you're probably looking at trading that thing in on a new car. And so, you know, a car dealership is not hesitant to talk about those kinds of things. They're not trying to, maybe they are trying to push you one way or the other. But realistically, like, when we offer the three options with our customers, we're not trying to push them one way or the other.
No, you're just giving them the opportunity to make their own decision on things that they are going to own.
Yeah.
Things that are in their home.
Right. And for all you know, they hate that toilet. Maybe it's not long enough. It's a round front and they want elongated. Maybe it's too short. Maybe they're really tall and they want a taller toilet. Maybe they're older and they have a hard time getting up and down off the toilet, and so they want a taller toilet. Like, you never know. And so we offer those three options, and you'd be amazed at how many people will pick the middle option or the upper option just because they feel more comfortable doing that.
Dude, HVAC is the same exact way. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many times, like, I'd go to a house and capacitor would be out, and you could literally see the wires are crisp from the contactor to the capacitor. And you have them walk out there and you're like, look, I can replace this contact or this capacitor is going to fire up, but look at the damage that this has caused. I can give you the capacitor, I can rewire it to the contactor, I can replace the contactor, and it's only going to be X amount of dollars more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the customer says, I as the tech don't know this, but the customer says, I've had to put money into this thing every year for 4 years. Like, they gave you the option to build that third option, which mm-hmm. is changing out everything because they're tired of spending money on it.
Yeah.
Like, you were just saying, you don't know if they hate that toilet.
Yeah.
You don't know that if they've been thinking about buying a whole new HVA system because they're tired of hearing this old RUD kick on for the last 10 years when they're sitting out on their deck drinking coffee in the morning.
Right.
Like, you don't know how far they're willing to go if you don't give them those extra options.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes, this is going to sound like a sales pitch, it makes providing options, how do I say this? It turns you into a salesman without you being a salesman.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, and sales is not a dirty word, right? Now, dirty sales is a dirty word. But
yeah, like if you go in and you say, look,
it's shot, you need a whole new AC.
Yeah.
When really it's just a
$350 capacitor. Yeah.
Right. But here's the other cool thing that you made me think about this when you provide those options is, let's say Dave provided an option for a capacitor only. Dave provided an option for a capacitor and rewire. And Dave provided an option for a capacitor, rewire, and new contactor. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, now, if the customer selects capacitor only, in a week and a half later, one of those charred wires snaps.
Yeah, burns in half. Seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah, and so now, the customer will most likely call in and be like, well, I tried to get out cheap. Dave gave me some really good options, but I chose the bottom one. I didn't choose the one that came with new wires. And now that my wires broke, I probably need to upgrade to that one.
Or they call in and say, hey, you just fixed this. It's broken again. Come out here. And you pull them outside and you're like, yeah, those wires frayed in half and kicked your breaker.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about, right. You did say we should probably replace those. Hey, I can just replace those right now. No big deal.
Yeah.
You want me to replace that contactor too?
You just pay the difference.
Yeah. I'll take the contactor and the rewire. You're right.
Yeah.
You got them for an extra service charge too.
Yeah. Yeah. The So the idea of the providing the three options is based off of like the Amazon buying experience. You know, people hate to be sold something. You walk into a car dealership and everyone's just looking. It's like, bullshit, you're looking, just looking. You could have looked on the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
People love to shop.
Yeah.
To your point, like when I go to Home Depot, I saw you at Home Depot yep. when I see you a couple days ago, and I go in there for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
How often do I walk out with five or six?
Right.
Every freaking time. You know why? Because people like to shop. Like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But how often did you very quickly turn down the salesperson in the aisle that's trying to sell you windows, siding, HVAC systems, or whatever else,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, because they're trying to sell you.
Yeah.
I'm not shopping. The three options allows you a place to shop while you're having...
Without being sold.
Yeah, without being sold while you're at your home shopping
yep.
for your toilet.
Yeah.
Repair, whatever, however you want to say it.
Yeah, and so a lot of times they'll be like, yeah, I've always hated that toilet. It doesn't actually flush very well. So yeah, let's look at a new toilet.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. Or if they choose a minor rebuild, it's like, that's awesome. That's a great option. Let's do it. Like, we don't chastise them for choosing the bottom one. It's not like they choose the bottom option and we're like, ooh, you sure about that?
No, then like, you immediately turn into the greasy salesman.
Yeah.
Like, when you do that, you yeah. are the loser.
Exactly.
You greasy son of a bitch.
So that's how you can increase your average tickets. Just simply offering more options. Now, what you'll want to do is you want to track these options that you offered that the customer didn't accept. And so how we do it is we put all three options on the invoice, and then we change the quantity to zero on the options they didn't select.
So you have a record.
So you have a record that we offered you these other two options. They were this much money, but you didn't select them.
Yeah.
And so that helps a ton, for one, as a manager, making sure that your guys are following process. But for two, for future reference, if that customer calls back in and says, you were just here 2 weeks ago and it's broke again, I want it fixed for free.
Yeah.
Because now you can say, now you have the ammo to say, like, well, what's actually broke was included in option two or option three. So unfortunately, we can't warranty it because you didn't pay for us to fix that. And so, but if you want to just pay the difference from what you did pay to option three, then I'll just go ahead and update everything now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I want to say just one more thing about the taking advantage of the leads that you do get. A lot of times in Tradewinds, guys will not be tracking how much they're selling, right,
mm-hmm.
on each call. And then so they get into a habit of, I need more leads, I need more leads, I need more leads. And so they overspend in marketing. And then when we sit down and talk to them and say, okay, what was your average ticket? $350. Okay. So you paid for all those leads originally, didn't sell like you were supposed to, and then think, quote unquote, you need more leads. You don't need more leads.
Yeah.
You need to take advantage of the leads you have. They're hard as hell to get now.
Yeah.
When you get one, maximize that lead.
Yeah.
Because if you don't maximize that lead, it can kind of put them into a spiral of, I need to spend more on marketing, 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 marketing.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Maybe you just need to review your sales process and your average ticket and know that you're maximizing the opportunities that you already have in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Most HVAC companies, especially, it costs them about $300 to $500 to acquire one new customer.
Yeah.
So imagine spending $500 to acquire a customer and then not even recouping that.
Yeah.
When you're there visiting them, right?
Yeah.
Because how you would measure your marketing ROI is how much did it cost to acquire the customer, and then how much gross profit did you make on that job? So a lot of people will be like, well, I spent $1,000 on the thing, and then I sold a $1,500 water heater, so it paid for itself. And it's like, no, it didn't. Not even close. For it to pay for itself, you would have had to have over $1,000 in gross profit
yeah.
on that water heater to pay for itself.
Yeah.
You don't compare marketing ROI to revenue. You compare it to gross profit.
Yeah.
And so that's actually one of the things we're going to talk about is number four. So we'll get to there in a minute. Number three, strengthen your review and your referral process. We literally just did a show about Google reviews and the whole process to do it. So you've got two shows that you can do with that. Episode 36, and then I think it's like episode 210 or 212 or something. It's in the low 200s.
212.
212? Okay.
It's 212.
So both of those are the process for how to get Google reviews. And the reason reviews and referrals are lumped together is because they're really the same thing. If somebody goes through the motions to give you a Google review, they have just done the behavior that is a referral. So they're more likely to actually vocalize a referral for you in the future because they've already given you a 5-star review. So we've been in business just over 5 years. We're knocking on the door of 1,300 reviews. I think we got like 1,275 or 1,280 or something like that. We typically get about 5 reviews a week. And the reason you want to strengthen your review process is several reasons why. Reason one is you want that customer to refer you in the future. And if they've given you a Google review, they're more likely to refer you. Reason two is because Google at this time is still kind of king when it comes to digital marketing assets that they have available. And Google will treat those well that treat Google well. And so if I'm constantly giving Google information and constantly getting Google reviews from customers, then Google rewards me with that, by that.
Yeah.
And so those guys that never get Google reviews, or they've been in business 10 years and they've only got 14 Google reviews, Google's never going to show them around very much because they're not very good stewards of Google.
Yeah. Google wants to promote the most visual person in a community.
Yeah.
The most active.
Yeah.
And all, like you were saying, there's a bunch of keys to that. Google reviews are one of them. Keeping pictures updated on your GMB page. Like, all of that stuff works together.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not getting Google reviews, they think you are, quote unquote, not working or not making customers happy.
Right.
Why would they be sending you LSA calls if they don't trust what you're doing? So who's ever at the top of that list, and say it's Blue Springs, who's ever bringing in the most reviews, that only helps you in the verified search section.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a snowball.
It is a snowball. Or a circle.
It all kind of wraps together. The so like, speaking of Google LSA. Google LSA, you know, if you remember, Google is an information machine. And so if you have a Google Local Services ads account, now you are paying to be in the top 3 spots up top, right? And you're paying for your phone to ring at that point.
Yeah.
I love LSA, by the way, because it's one of the only things where it's truly like fixed price for fixed results. I know that for between $75 and $85, my phone will ring.
Yeah.
Instead of me spending $7,500 on a billboard hoping that I get 100 calls from it.
Yeah.
I may not, right?
Billboards are hard to track too.
Right.
Like, at what point does someone subconsciously remember seeing that billboard, and when they go to Google and search you, like, do they even remember that they recognized your logo because of the billboard? Probably not.
Probably not.
And it's hard to track.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that's why I love LSA, is you're literally only paying after you've received the phone call.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. But with LSA, review frequency is very important there too.
Yeah.
They're going to reward the companies that are getting a lot of reviews. They're going to reward the companies that, if you're on LSA, there's a whole dashboard they give you. And after every LSA call you run, they want as much information from that customer as possible. Name, address, phone number, type of repair you did, value, yep, all this kind of stuff. You're helping feed the Google machine that tells Google what those services cost, for one. But for two, the more information you give Google, the better Google's going to treat you.
Well, and not only that, they can make more money off of you.
Yeah.
If you're bringing in reviews and getting calls based off of LSA, and they give you more, and that cycle perpetuates itself, the more money they make.
Yeah.
Like, it's more simple than it sounds sometimes. Sometimes it is just a money circle.
Yeah.
You help them, you get paid.
Yeah.
They help you, you get paid.
I spend $3,000 to $4,000 a month, straight to Google, directly to Google
on LSA,
yeah. And then all of our other like admin console stuff and websites and email addresses and all of that stuff.
Just quick question: do you know what you made off of Google LSA last month?
I could tell you quarterly.
Give me a quarter. Oh, I thought I meant off the top of your head.
No, but I can. I don't have it on the top of my head, but I can pull it up.
Sometimes you're looking
super
at that
fast
stuff like every day.
All right,
sometimes it's right in front of you.
Oh, no. That's a... Okay. Q3, Google LSA. I spent $5,550 on Google LSA, and it resulted in 85 jobs, which was 26% of our jobs. It resulted in $69,000 in revenue for $5,000 in ad spend. That means for every $1 in ad spend, I got $817 in revenue.
Yeah, and we're not saying that that is going to be like your exact result, but I mean, that is... That's the easiest way for you to run calls.
Yeah.
We
averaged a 66% gross profit in Q3. And so now if I take that Google LSA spend at $5,550, so I have at 85 leads, that's $65 per lead.
Which is down for you.
Which is lower than what we usually do. But then we did $69,000 in revenue, so that comes out to $45,000 in gross profit, which means an ROI of $825. So for every $1 I spent in leads, I got $825 in gross profit.
It's pretty fantastic.
So it's pretty sweet. Actually, I'm sorry. I think it's for every $100 I got $825 in gross profit.
Okay.
But
I can't see your screen, so.
Yeah.
I'm just trusting you.
And I'm skimming through this just so I don't drag everybody on the show down, but
Well, I think it's good. The reason I brought it up is I think it's a lot of times guys won't fully invest their time and energy into their website, their GMB page, their Google LSA, and then bitch and complain that they're not getting calls from it.
Yeah.
And it's because you're not investing your time in it. Does it work in every corner of the country? No, it doesn't.
Right.
But the majority of the country, it does.
Yeah.
And if you invest your time and give Google what, like you were saying, what they want, it makes it easier for Google LSA to, or for you to get Google LSA calls.
Yeah.
You know, for a while there, what were you paying? Like 120 to 140 for calls at its peak?
Yeah, we got up to the upper 80s. But what it comes down to is you get up to the upper 80s in calls, but let's say the booking percentage drops. So now you got to take two Google LSA calls to book one call on the board.
Yeah.
Well, now you're
at 160.
Now you're 160 to 180 for a Google lead, right?
Yeah.
So Google is always changing some stuff up and they're always testing new things. And, you know, LSA got really difficult for a while, but it seems like it's back to being very functional.
It's back to normal.
So, yeah, basically Google was putting LSA leads in places where they didn't really belong.
Yeah, there was about a 6-month deal there where people were getting a lot of LSA calls that weren't, they were just DIYers.
Yeah.
Trying to have questions answered. And so they were calling people for bids and estimates and stuff. And it just,
yeah, it used to be like
a shit show.
It used to be that if you Googled plumber near me, you'd see an LSA lead. But if you Googled like, how do I replace my water heater thermostat? That you'd get videos for how to do it. And there for a while, Google was putting LSA leads in front of those DIY search queries.
Yeah.
And the lead conversion was going down hardcore.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be happening right now.
No.
So
hopefully they've got that fixed.
It can all change anytime soon, but you just never know.
We are kind of at the mercy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not ours.
We're all at the mercy of the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if, to be honest.
Yep. Okay, so plan and price for profit. Review your pricing and overhead before the new year. Make sure that your 2025 pricing reflects your real cost and designed profit margins, not what the guy down the street charges. And so what that means is, and we have a calculator for this too in Tradewinds. Tradewinds members get a calculator for this. We have like a pricing review format. And so basically, We get a couple of numbers from you. We get your top line revenue, we get your net profit, and we get we learn how you sell your services. Do you sell by the hour? Do you sell by the task hour, the flag hour, billable hour, whatever the case may be? And so once we learn a few things, we can learn very quickly what you need to adjust your price to get to your desired profit level. And so in our business, we shoot for 20% net profit. And so anytime we're reviewing our price, we look at how short we came up on 20% net and what do we need to do to fix that? And so let's just use round numbers. We sell our services by the task hour. So let's say that we were $5,000 short of our profit goal, net profit goal, and we sold 100 hours. So if we increase our sales price by $50 an hour and nothing else changes in the business, then we will achieve
your 20%
our 20% net. Right. So We have a lot of calculators that will help do that. And some of these numbers may be going over your head. Some you guys may not know what the difference between gross profit and net profit is. Gross profit, the easy I saw this put the other day. The reason they call it gross profit is because once you realize how much money the government takes out of it, it's just gross.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, but it's not really the government taken out of it. It's all your other expenses. It's your insurance and your you know, fuel and truck payments.
Oh man, we did $1 million, and then it's like net $10,000. Yeah. What the hell happened?
Yeah. So, plan and price for profit. So what I would do in Q4 is I would pull reports for Q1, 2, and 3. Of how much did we make? What was our net profit? Where did we want to be? Adjust your price for Q4. And then reevaluate that at the end of Q4 and make sure, pull a report just for Q4 and learn like, okay, we made this change. Did it help? It did, but maybe not quite enough. And so now you go into Q1 of next year with another slight price tweak.
Yeah.
Or if it worked perfectly, then you're able to say, all right, we're set. We're ready to rock and we're going to go into Q1 strong.
Yeah, you have you validated your research.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like January 1, we're ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And so building momentum before the slow season. And it's not really the slow season. It really what this is, some businesses are going to be slow during the year, but really what this is realizing that the decisions you make today affect your business 3 months from now. And so if you want results 3 months from now, you have to be starting making decisions today.
Yeah.
And so, you know, companies that win in Q1 are the companies that prepared well in the prior Q4.
Yeah, they forecast
for
next year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys get trapped in, we're cruising along, and they're not super busy, but they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they hit a speed bump, they then try to quickly reevaluate and scramble to make up the gap. Dude, your time passed a month and a half ago.
Right.
Like, we all want to get into the now, but it's, if you're not forecasting and planning, you're behind the eight ball before the trouble even comes up. We see it a lot in Tradewinds.
Yeah. And what you'll see too is this same goes with taxes.
Yeah.
If your accountant is telling you, oh, we don't even worry about taxes, we're just going to file an extension next year, fire them immediately. What you should be having is you should be having meetings in Q4 with your accountant, in early Q4 with your accountant, and your accountant should be able to give you some projections of like, here's what you're if Q4 finishes out like Qs 1, 2, and 3 did, then your tax liability is going to be about X. Do you have anything that you're looking to buy to offset that liability? Oh, yeah, we're going to pick up a truck before the end of the year. Cool. Yeah, and now you can have all those conversations with your accountant ahead of time.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? You must do it by the end of the year if you're doing it regardless.
Yeah.
Like, let's get it done now.
Yeah. And so, like, back in the day when we were only, like, 2 years old as a business, a year and a half old, I had 3 trucks. I paid cash for all 3. But it was time to trade those trucks in, and now COVID pricing had hit. I guess I paid cash for 2 of the 3. But anyway, COVID pricing hit, and now the new trucks were going to cost a lot of money, which meant I had to put money out of my pocket. All this was happening in like late December. And so I called the accountant and I'm like, hey, does this need to be 12/31 or January 1st?
Yeah.
Is this a this year problem or a next year problem? And they ran some numbers and they said definitely January 1. Cool.
Yeah.
And so we did all the paperwork for January 3rd because you get some holiday stuff in there. Do all the paperwork for January 3rd, and then I talked to the dealers about giving me the vehicles early. So,
and they didn't give a shit.
Oh, I had already signed all the paperwork and given them the down payment and everything. They just weren't going to date the paperwork until January 3rd. And so it let me put it off on next year's taxes, but then get access to the trucks to start changing them over in late December, like around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So we're not talking months early, just a couple weeks early.
Yeah.
But
hey, that one-day deadline can make a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it can change you from having to write a check for $60,000 to not having to write a check at all.
Yeah.
Because you bought a truck.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So,
and if you're planning on growing anyway, you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. And you want to have an open relationship with your accountant to where you can call them and ask them those kinds of things. An accountant that you can never get a hold of, also an accountant you need to fire.
Yeah.
So now that doesn't mean they need to be dropping what they're doing every time you call. But like,
at least
if you send them an email, you should hear back within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And also you shouldn't have urgent problems with your accountant. There's like your business should be set up well enough.
Yeah.
To where it's not like I'm dead in the water until I hear back from my accountant.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love my gal. She is, I have two gals. They're fantastic. Like when, if I email, I hear that day.
Yeah.
And if it's an issue that they have to look into, I usually get the email faster. I don't know. Let me find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me X amount of time. But it's never 3 days. Give me 3 days. Let me know. And it's either later that day or the next day.
Yeah.
You know, you need that kind of response time.
Yeah. So use Q4 as a momentum building time so that you can step off into Q1 of next year. And all this stuff is just the way you do things now.
Yeah.
Q4 is a great time to improve systems in your business. Q4s are always like Q3 is typically a down quarter for a lot of businesses. And Q4 is typically a strong quarter. So use that stronger quarter to like during a strong quarter, your team is usually better morale. So use the better morale of that stronger quarter to go in there and change how you get Google reviews. Maybe change how you incentivize your guys to get Google reviews. We pay our guys $25 a review for every review they get. A guy could literally make an extra $100 a day at our company if he just gets 4 Google reviews a day.
Yeah. I think just to talk about Q4 just a little bit, I think even when you're not, and I think as a society, we've kind of been groomed for Q4 to be a quote unquote good feeling time. You got the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of been groomed. I shouldn't say groomed. Groomed's a bad word now, but groomed to at January 1, it's a reset.
It's the same word.
You know,
it's just made to feel bad.
I know. They've bastardized the shit out of it. But like January 1 is a fresh, clean slate. You know, we're gonna roll forward from here. But in Q4, you know, guys are making the same money but taking 2 weeks of vacation, right? So like to your point, they feel good,
right?
And when your team feels good, it's easier for you to make changes inside of your process.
Yeah.
You know, when it's the middle of summer and they're mad and they're hot and it's shitty and you're like, hey guys, we're going to change this week.
Yep.
They're already disgruntled. They're like, no, fuck that. Dude, we're wore out.
Yeah.
But when they're happy and money's good and they've got time off and we're all moving forward together, it's a really good time to implement whatever minor changes you're going to make.
Yeah.
It flows smoothly. It allows everyone to go off of the springboard on January 1, and it's just a naturally good time to make some significant changes.
Yeah.
It's just easier on you as a business owner.
Yeah, so here we are.
What is today?
I just got an email of another 5-star review we just got today.
Fantastic.
Excellent work. Explained everything very well. I felt very comfortable, and he knew what he was doing, and he knew it very well. I would highly recommend him and Smedley Plumbing.
Fantastic. Do I get a $25 spiff?
No.
Oh, well, then fuck you.
So, yeah, 1,279 reviews and a 4.9 rating.
Let's talk about, I didn't say it earlier, but you brought the Google review thing back up. When people are on the fence of getting bids or having a significant job done at their home, mm-hmm. and they just go to Google and they're like Smedley Plumbing or John's Plumbing or who the hell ever it is, and they see 50 reviews, and then the next three guys are 1,200, 1,000, 800, 2,500. Do you think you're going to gain any traction as the 50 guy?
Right.
It's really hard.
Right.
You are already on an uphill battle. So if you, and especially if they look and you've been in business for 10 years and only have 50.
Yep.
Now you're almost completely screwed, especially with the younger crowd that goes off of reviews for everything, Amazon, Google, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know, vehicles. You have to play, and I hate to say this, but you have to play the game.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. You know, there's all this stuff about, well, AI is going to make Google obsolete and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Google's smart enough to know that if we're going to run our AI, we're going to pull from the same things that natural AI is, but we're all also going to start pulling from Google as well.
Yeah.
And the old people that already use the AI generator at the bottom, it just says deep dive AI,
mm-hmm.
that's on their Google browser now. Do you think they're going to actually go to ChatGPT? No, they're going to hit that fucking deep dive Google and you're going to come up.
Yeah.
So all of those things that, you know, people have been saying online about, oh, Google's not going to be as relevant and this and that, blah, blah, I think half of that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You have to be a cog in the machine, and Google reviews, unfortunately, are a major cog in the machine.
Well, and ultimately, your ability
in your
to
machine,
get
sorry,
yeah, your ability to get Google reviews is what separates you from a legit business to somebody just doing side work.
Well, and that's what my point was with the 50. Someone's got 50. At 50, you're still a side job guy. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You're not Smedley Plumbing at 1,200. And I'm not kissing your ass because, frankly, it drives me insane. But, like, it makes you look legit when you got 1,000.
Yeah.
Even when you got 750 and everyone else on there is 120, 300, 50. Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to check this guy out. And then say it is a bigger job where it's bid, you need two hot water heaters. I know we're just on a plumbing kick, but you need two hot water heaters. At the if you have the highest reviews, you're going to at least get a chance to bid that job.
Right.
You know, and if your pricing structure pushes you out, that's just on you.
Yeah.
But the Google reviews got you that lead.
So I just typed in plumbers in Kansas City. And I'm just going to read through the numbers of... I'm not even going to say the names of the
companies.
Are you
on Google and you just typed in plumbers in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one company, 27 years in business, 445 reviews. One company, 39 years in business, 8,200 reviews.
There you go.
One company is 5 years in business, 326 reviews. One company, 66 years in business, 18,000 reviews. 13 years in business, 573. 105 years in business, 793 reviews. And a 4.7 rating, by the way. That's a little
That's
low.
Probably the person I actually choose. But I'm a weirdo, so.
74 years in business, 2,500 reviews. 2 years in business, 81 reviews. This one's kind of different. It's 74 years in business, but they got bought out by private equity and they had to get a new Google page. And so all their Google reviews started over like 2 years ago.
But as a consumer, you
as
don't
a
know
consumer,
that.
You don't know that. 74 years in business, 2,800 reviews. They've done all those 2,800 in like the last 2 years.
Well, and you can click, people will click into those reviews and read them and then they'll go off of the dates too.
2 years in business, 519 reviews. 8 years in business, 1232. So, I mean, you get the idea that of all these companies, and what's funny is I still haven't come across our
You're
company
not in
yet.
Kansas City.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to pull Kansas City businesses first because that was your Google search.
Yeah.
Smedley Plumbing sucks fucking ass. Review number one.
We avoid Kansas City.
I know, it's the play.
So, but you get the idea, right?
It's important.
It's a very quick visual of like, okay, the guy with 300 reviews doesn't hold a candle to the guy with 3,000, and they both have a 4.9 rating. Obviously, I'm going to go with the 3,000 reviews. It's a more vetted review. 10 times the volume, same rating.
Yeah.
So, the other thing with Google reviews, and we talk about this before, but it's worth saying again. We
talk about it a lot because it's important.
Is people don't know what to expect for pricing from whatever service you offer. That's plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical, it doesn't matter. If you got a boatload of Google reviews and a high rating, then that person, whenever they're feeling internal insecurity about how much they're getting ready to spend, they immediately go back to those reviews and they're like, well, 1,700 people can't be that wrong.
They can't be that high. Because all these people were okay paying it.
Right. All these other people were okay. So maybe I'm the one in the wrong for thinking it should be much cheaper. Right.
Yeah.
And so they help you with price objection. You're going to have price objection and buyer's remorse a lot when you're young. But that impressive number of Google reviews will help buyer's remorse type customers from calling in later once they see how many reviews you have.
Yeah.
So... imagine that company with 18,000 Google reviews. Like,
if that's who I'm thinking of,
they're the biggest. It's a company here in Kansas City called AB May.
Yeah.
But they're the biggest home service company in the area for sure.
And they don't have the bad rep that
a couple of the other big businesses. They actually have a very good reputation. Now they do run their employees hard. But as far as their reputation, it's very strong. So we got some other bigs in the area that don't have a good reputation, but they do.
Someday when I make it, maybe I'll do one of the... I think I've told you this before. This is completely off topic. But I want to go in and work for a business like that, coming in green, and video it all, and like create a little series of what it's like know what I mean?
On the inside.
On the inside. Like, I think it would be very interesting.
Somebody ate my sandwich out of the break room.
Yeah. Or do a series where I do those and I go in and I see how long it takes me to get fired. And I'm like intentionally try. Like, not like do anything.
You act like you couldn't get fired day one.
What I mean to say is not make it so obvious and something against the law that you get fired.
Right.
Like, go in and then just go park in Quick Trip parking lot and sleep. And
just,
like, you know,
just push the boundaries for a while.
Yeah, just push the edges and see how much entertainment value I could create before I got fired. The only thing I'm worried about is, would I get sued? Would they sue me?
Maybe.
I don't know. Would it be worth it? Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess I could create a media company, do it. They could sue the media company. I could just shut it down.
There you go.
Just have 8 media companies.
Yeah.
Maybe we're onto something.
Maybe.
I am a little bored. It would be.
I'm waiting for you to sabotage your AC and see who finds it and tries to sell you a new one, or to see who just fixes it.
That's a good idea.
They do that with plumbers. They'll loosen a union on the top of a water heater.
Oh,
and then
they have
a female homeowner be like, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know if it needs replaced
or what. And
see
if they're fucking her or not.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't. That was a bad choice of words.
That was a bad choice of words.
I'm sorry.
There.
If they're trying to screw her out of money or a replacement she doesn't need.
Yep. So.
Dude, you know what would be really good for that? Is your house. Dude, these guys can't work on Geo.
Yeah.
Dude, these kids that have 10 years of experience, I say
my house is too good, though. Like, they'd look at all that in my mechanical room.
No, they wouldn't.
For those that don't know, my mechanical room looks like an industrial boiler room.
They don't know that you did that.
Right, but
I bought this house 3 years ago, and I'm having issues with my Geo, and they go down there. Like, they can't.
Yeah. I'd be better off saying I got issues with my water heater, because Geo is so rare.
Dude, I'd just bypass that fucking water switch. I bet you'd get that people try to screw you on just the water switch being off.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
That would be fun. We could do that.
Yeah.
I could do it at my house. That'd be fantastic.
I could do my
septic pump.
Don't
I could just
be
cut
that
a
guy.
Wire. Just cut a wire and they'd be like, "Oh no, you need a new pump and this and that, blah blah blah," and be like, "You sure?"
Yeah.
Cuz the breaker's tripped.
Yeah. Yeah, that's those are all things that you want to watch out for, all right? And that's part of why you provide 3 options. Because I'm going to give you an option to repair it, replace it, or replace it well, or minor repair, moderate repair, and replacement.
Yeah.
So those 3 options are what keep your ass out of a sling whenever Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC is asking you to have a seat and enjoy a cookie.
Well, What's the matter with you?
Wrong investigational show. Is that the wrong
it's
one?
It's not How to Catch a Predator.
Yeah, it
well,
is.
I mean, it
HVAC
is.
HVAC Predator.
Yeah, well, there's like, okay. I mean, a crime's a crime, I guess.
Yeah. They're preying on the weak. So.
Show's over. Wrap it up.
Yeah, wrap it up.
It took a dark turn.
So, guys, we're actually having a sales training in Omaha, Nebraska. You can find all this information on our website about it. We're going to do some pop-up sales trainings around the nation. This first one we're doing is in Omaha. It is next Friday. So a week, like this show releases on a Friday. It is a week from the day of this show releasing. So,
yeah, it's under the events tab.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to, winninginthetrades.com and then find events, you'll be able to find it there. But, the sales training, it's $100 if you're a TradeWinds member. You do have to be a member to join the sales training. Our base level membership is $250. We are month to month. We do not have contracts. So you could literally sign up, become a member for a month to get an inexpensive sales training. And at that point, you're $350 for a sales training that will guaranteed pay for itself within the first week start using it.
You're not $350 for a sales training. I mean, you're paying $350 for the sales training, but then you get to download all the sheets too.
Yeah, yeah, you get access. I mean,
15
you have,
sheets that you could use to run your business.
We have
too.
Tons of resources inside of TradeWinds that are free.
You and I take them for granted because we've been seeing them for so long. We forget to even tell people, like, hey, if you sign up, you get all of this extra stuff.
Yeah, so like the marketing returns sheet that we're going to be training TradeWinds on next week. That'll be free for TradeWinds members.
Yeah. 5-day call board, a KPI sheet that turns into the huddle sheet, the annual pace sheet. There's all kinds of shit on there.
We take on the geek work to give you guys all of the the nerdy tracking sheets that you need to use to run your business, but you may not know how to build. It's a good thing I'm an Excel nerd. I build all this stuff and then just give it to Tradewinds members. So
yeah, you do a good job at it.
And these are the same things that I use to start and build and scale and then sell my company. So the shit works. So
yeah. The shit works.
It just is what it is. So
easy way to say it.
Until next week, guys, hopefully we'll see some of you at the training. If not, don't worry about it. There'll be some others coming up. So, until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.